Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. This is spring sports season, so all teams have been in action this past week, and we're starting the show at a little bit late at 8:30 every Saturday morning. So tune in and catch a couple coaches before that 9 o'clock hour. So we have an hour and a half culture show in the spring. Starting things off with Barry Bessonen on boys golf, and finally got outside with an event. And gosh, started off the season with an 18-hole event there, Barry.
Yeah, we dove right in. We had 18-hole meet at Worthington yesterday, so we made the trip down there. It ended up starting about 1 o'clock. For us, it was the first time out. For a number of other schools that were there, we were the northernmost school. The rest of them had a meet under their belts, so they were a little more tested. And I think, you know, they didn't quite, a lot of them didn't quite have the snowfall we had, where we kind of got locked indoors there again for a week and maybe lost some outdoor short game prep time, which was usually the last thing to come at this time of the year is the short game, the fun, those half shots and chips and putts. And so, you know, the concern was there because we've been hitting the ball well, but how are we going to do on the greens? We got down there and it was dry and the greens were fast and firm they didn't have the moisture we had, so it was a bit of a, you know, little eye opener there, but it was good for us, and we actually ended up winning the event. Shooting 335, which was the goal we set on the way down. We said, let's see if we go 335 or less. We got 335 out of it. So we ended up winning the tournament. Four shots at Lakeview at 339. Third was Laverne at 347. Fourth was Wyndham. Then it was Worthington in fifth, Murray County Central in sixth, Jackson County Central in seventh. HOLOF, WWG, we won't go through all those towns, in eighth. That might push us over 9 o'clock. Fairmont in ninth, RTR 10th, Pipestone 11th, Hills Beaver Creek 12th, and TMB was 13th.
Wow,
so
big, 13th, big event.
Big event. So we're fortunate enough to come out of that with a win. We had some of our younger guys that we're hoping to make a step forward or making that step forward. We were led by Griffin Kranz, actually came in third, shot 81. Nice day for Griffin, played really steady golf all the way around, I think he had eight pars, 10 bogeys, whatever it was. He didn't have any doubles, which was good. Carson Bessonen and Noah Arndt tied for sixth at 84. Carson was the one who probably struggled the most inside of 100 yards, hit the ball well off the tee, hit it into the greens, couldn't hold greens, and couldn't get up and down, and probably had the most putts on the team. So it was he lost all his shots within a few yards of the green. So that'll clean up. That's, like I said, that's kind of the last thing to come. And once that cleans
drive for show and putt for
he did the drive for show, but he didn't get any dough out of the putts. He'll figure out. Noah Arndt was also 84. Gavin Carl came in 11th. He was with 86, and that was when I think he had a 9 on a hole.
Those are good scores.
He had a 9 on a hole, one of his first holes. Aaron Bond came in 18th, his first varsity meet. Maybe been the first time he ever played 18 holes. I know competitively, he shot 89. Great day for Aaron. He just kind of kept it in play and got it on the greens and made some bogeys, and then all of a sudden he got some pars and actually birdied a par 3, and so great day for Aaron. As our Grant Bierke was playing baseball yesterday, so we didn't have him. So Aaron stepped in and played extremely well. And then Caden Stender rounded out the field with our team with a 95, placing 34th place. And, you know, he had some issues with some penalty strokes and a ruling and that sort of thing. So obviously good to show our depth there and the fact that, we went the guy we had playing in the five spot came in third in the tournament, and you know, our fourth man tied for sixth. And our seventh comes in and breaks 90. So that's an encouraging thing, especially the first time out.
Right.
So you never know what you're going to get the first time out. Now, the weather conditions were as good as they could be. Warm, sunny.
No wind.
Very little to no wind. Not enough to affect anything. You can't ask for better conditions in April, and you, the way the springs go around here, you might not see those conditions again until probably sometime in May. But, it was good for the kids to get the win and build some confidence. And like you said, some things will get better, especially around the greens. And some of those things, like you said, I think like a player like Carson, the short stuff that ate him up will I think I watched him miss five putts inside of about 3 feet, and then obviously other struggles around the greens as well. But that's encouraging.
Yes, for sure.
So
then next week, what's going on?
We got two meets scheduled next week. Monday we go to Marshall for their 18-hole invite. 1 o'clock start there down in Marshall. A lot of we'll start seeing some of our conference schools and some of our section schools, as well as a few of the schools that we saw here yesterday. And, of course, the whole school, Marshall. And then on Thursday morning we go to Minneota for their invitational. I think we start about 9:30. That'll be a lot of conference. It'll be a good opportunity to run into a number of those teams before we start the conference season the following week. So we got those two scheduled for the week.
Okay. Both are 18-hole events.
Both are 18-hole events, yes.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm sure looking outside, you might have some kids out at the golf course today and tomorrow. So
I think so. They're talking about it. Obviously want to get out and work on different things. And so I think there'll be a few out there practicing over the weekend here, which will be good. And continue to get better. But, yeah, good start. But, I think they see that, they can get better. And they want to do that. So
okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Gosh, I'm sure those scores surprised you, but build some confidence with those kids. And best of luck those two events, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Barry.
All right. Thank you.
Barry Besson. And on boys golf, we'll talk to Kip Stender on the girls' side after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Hop into the Country Butcher in Dawson this week for this week's specials. Thunderhawk Steaks, a.k.a. Tom A. Hawk Steak, $20 a pound of pure power. Blackjack Brats, 10% off. Roll the flavor dice. Corbett Hams, call to reserve yours now for Easter. Don't leave the bunny hanging. Call to claim your cuts today from the Country Butcher before they hop away. 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher is closed Mondays. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1. That's the Country Butcher. Main Street, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Well, back at the studio, talking girls golf now with Kip Stender. And Kip, you've had some events already.
Yeah, we had started last Friday, a week ago, down in Worthington, and we talked about that last weekend.
Okay.
And this week we had Wilmer Invitational on Thursday. Over at Eagle Creek, so it's always nice to play in that tournament, get the girls out there on the section course and get that experience. Had the course in real good shape, probably just opened it up, and they had snow a few spots in the back nine, but other than that, it was played well. The greens were quicker than anything we've putted on so far, so that was an adjustment for the girls. But winning the tournament was Alexandria area with a 342. Dawson Boyd finished second with a 354. St. Cloud Crush was third, 358. Minnewaska, fourth with a 366. Wilmer was fifth with 374. Sartell, 388, sixth. Community Christian shot a 402. Corey shot a 402 for seventh. And then ninth, we were in ninth with a 426. Painesville, 448. Wilmer, number two, is 449. Benson shot a 457. And then Atwater, Cosmos, McCray, and Bold had not enough players for a score. So pretty good tournament with 15 teams there.
Right.
And so I'll go through the individuals here, get those up on the screen. Winning it was with an 80 was Ellie Stika from Alexandria. And Brooke Brecky, who's in our section, shot an 81 for second. Lindsay Lund finished third with an 82. Kyler Tomlin finished fourth with an 83. Then we'll get down to, I'll get my players in there. All right. Leading us was Molly Halverson with an 89. Peyton Sachs shot 92. So Peyton finished 18th. Molly was 13th. And then Kate Alstead shot a 117. Macy Zarbuck shot a 128. Hannah Oy shot a 137. And Kaylee Nelson shot a 147. And so we set a goal to shoot 400, and we didn't quite get there. We were at 426. But there's 26 strokes out there. We struggled around the greens and putting. Had a lot of three putts, four putts even for a few. But overall, pretty good spot where we're at. We know what we got to do. The girls already staying after extra hours last night, and this weekend they're going to get in extra time, and we'll see some of those strokes come off fairly quickly. And then, you know, we got Marshall next week to see some good competition and play a good course down there on Tuesday. And then Monday after Easter is the first conference meet in Madison. And so we'll be preparing for that. JV Junior High has a meet on Monday in Raymond, so we're taking pretty much everybody except for the three returning to that, so they'll get some experience there. And we have 14 events this year. Every year you have 14 events you can participate in, so we've lost the tri-state. They're not going to have it this year, so that's a two-day event that we normally are in. So we got some opportunities to get some of those beginning golfers and first-time varsity golfers, give them some JV experience too, to build their confidence up and give them more playing time.
All right. Okay. Well, best of luck in those events this week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Kip.
That sounds good, Dick. Thank you very much. Beautiful day today. Hope everybody can get out and enjoy it.
That's right. Kip Stender on Girls Golf. We'll take this break, and when we return, I will be talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland after this.
As this Easter dawns, all of us at Lee Motor Company in Dawson will be looking forward to a rededication of faith and family bonds. We'll find it in our worship service, in our children's faces as they discover their Easter treasures, in the feast we share. We hope that you will share all these things with your family and have the best Easter ever. Happy Easter from your friends at Lee Motor Company, your Northland Ford dealer located East Highway 212 in Dawson.
Here we go. On the next Prairie Sportsman, we head to Blue Mountain State Park to learn about Action Track Chairs, a chair that helps people with mobility issues explore the park.
This is great.
Then we check out 21 Roots Farm, a nonprofit that's connecting people with developmental disabilities to the outdoors and agriculture.
They say if you build it, they will come. It's happened.
Finally, Nicole Zempel shows us the upside of nettles.
You will get food, medicine.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Dawson Boyd, Lacapra Valley Boys Tennis with Head Coach Austin Ireland. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, it's a great day, right?
Oh, it's a beautiful day for some tennis.
You got tennis today?
Yeah, we do. Actually, we're down in Worthington, doubles tournament.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, you usually go down there in the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah, it's a good day for get some reps and get some playing in. Yeah, and weather cooperated this year, so that makes it even better.
Okay. All right. Well, you got a couple matches in this week, I hear.
Yeah, we had one on Thursday.
Oh, just one. Okay, go ahead. How'd it go?
Well, not that great for us. As far as the score sheet goes, we lost to Montevideo 7-0. Montevideo, the returning section champion. But, you know, it was our first match of, you know, of the year. And not trying to make a whole lot of excuses. And we got a whole bunch of them, but just maybe one. And it was their seventh of the year. So.
Oh, wow.
It was a good wake-up call. Good way to get some reps. It's just unfortunate to have to play, a section and a conference opponent that early. But we knew it was on the schedule. We just got to, get better and keep growing with it,
Yeah, they already have seven matches in, Montevideo did?
Yeah. Wow. They played a triangle earlier, and then they played on a Saturday. And then they went down to Gus Davis and played indoors a triangle.
Oh, okay.
I'm a taxpayer. Our districts don't have that kind of money to rent out indoors. But good for them, I guess.
Yeah. So. All right. You want to run through the go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Sorry about that. We'll do. So at one singles, we had Gunnar Olsen. He took on a really good Gabe Lindemann from Montevideo. Gabe's been in the state tournament. His sister's also a really great player in the state tournament. Hung with him a little bit there. Lost 6-1, 6-0. Barely missing. It was kind of a game of inches. The ball just, when he's missed, it was just a little bit out. So, again, a couple things. He's not in Costa Rica anymore. State basketball's over with. So, we got some time now to fine-tune some things and really get some of the court there. At number two singles, Luke Stock, he's another senior captain. He lost to senior Hunter Oshkosh, 6-2, 6-1. Overall, at ground stroke, really good job. We got to get a little bit higher contact on the serve, but, Luke's getting there. Third singles, Brody Boston did a wonderful job. He lost to Patrick Buchel, 6-3, 6-4. Was up 4-2 in that second set. Did a good job of keeping his composure. We still got to work on, patience and a little bit of baseline consistency with him. But good job overall. Impressive from last year. At four singles, Thomas Felton. He lost to Jackson Wiesman. Thomas, that was his first varsity singles match. And that's a big learning curve. But starting to throw some strikes toward the end, kind of get the feel of strategy when you go on offense, when you go on defense. He's really shot up. He's got a lot taller, and his footwork is really improved. So it's good to see. They lost 6-2, 6-1 there. Our doubles, which was kind of our stronger point in the lineup, we ended up losing all three doubles. But number one doubles, Brody Nelson and Hudson Giese. They took on Nagin and a backer from Montevideo. Lost 6-4, 6-4. Hudson and Brody, those guys can hit the ball really well. We gotta tune them in a little more strategic. They're kind of just a bunch of strong, fast, athletic kids. We got to kind of do a better job as coach, to get a little bit better game plan in for those guys. But they did a nice job. I mean, they did a lot of really great points, a lot of great shots. And then second doubles, Mitchell Meyer and Tony Reed, two seniors, really smart, good leaders. They lost 6-3, and then they went to a tiebreaker in the second set, losing tiebreaker 10-8. So really close there. Like I said, their first match two of the year, so they would kind of get some cobwebs up. We took a set to kind of get going. We'll see how things will progress throughout the year. Maybe we do some lineup changes and stuff. But those guys are really good and experienced and level-headed. Our third doubles was Cole Percy and Gannon Andrews. Those guys ended up losing in straight sets, 6-0. That first set, that was kind of a wake-up call. They came back. They were up 5-4 in the second set, ended up bringing that to a tiebreaker, and they lost 7-0 in a tiebreaker. So, I mean, you're looking at the seeds. I mean, it's a lot of better second sets than first sets, and, you know, it was an earlier start because they had the musical practice afterwards, and like I said, I could go into for days and write a book about the excuses, but that's over with. It ain't going to do no one any good talking about excuses, so.
Right, right.
But it was good. We had a lot of guys, you know, exhibition guys got their first ever match in.
Good.
Aiden Metting, Dasher Johnson, they played doubles. They did a nice job. Aaron Will, he picked the win on exhibition singles. Did a nice job keeping his head up and moving his feet. And Max Bosden, he did a good job, too. I mean, for the first matches, these guys really showing some improvement. And Landon Hurston, too, he played a couple matches yesterday. So, yeah, it's good that they got some experience. And, you know, hopefully today, you know, with the beautiful weather and the doubles tournament, we can get some more experience.
Okay, what do you got coming up this week for your – the what do you call them again?
You got a bad guy. You know, we try to be the fellow, just be a bad guy.
The bad guys, okay. So what's the bad guys got coming up this week?
We got the reschedule from earlier in the season, Milbank. We're going to go there on Monday. That's going to be an earlier start because the South are playing South Dakota rules, which – yeah, 9 points versus 7 points. JV starting at 2 o'clock, varsity afterwards. And then we're gonna put the miles on. We're gonna go to Minnewaska on Tuesday. They're always super solid. And Tara's been doing that since forever. They're well coached and yeah, well supported on Tuesday. And then Thursday, another tough one in New London Spicer. So
all right. Yeah,
we're cut out. Hopefully they got the oil change on the bus, so we're going to be traveling some miles. But
yeah, it looks like the weather's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the main thing, getting these in. We don't have to, you know, keep rescheduling it. Getting better towards the end of the season, you know. I had a couple coaches text me, you know, asking how it went, and they were kind of surprised about the score. And they're like, well, I'm glad. I'm not going to want to see you, you know, week 7, 8, 9 of the season.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a good thing the guys got to build on, but everyone, they know that we're dangerous. We just have to become, you know, dangerous too, you know. So.
You're right. Well, you said Montevideo had already 7 matches, and that was your first match on Thursday, so that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yep, and as long as we, you know, look forward and keep improving every single day, good things can happen.
Yep. All right, Austin, thanks for the report on the tennis team, and good luck this week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapral Valley Bad Guys tennis team. And we'll take a break and come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Good morning, and welcome to the Lacapral Valley Coach's Show. Dick Newman, along with Paul Ramo, in his usual position, bringing you the Coach's Show. And remember, in the spring now, we've already had 3 coaches on. We start at 8:30 and with seven sports and even boys volleyball, 8 sports. We need more than one hour to get that in because tell me a coach that's not proud of his team or her team. So we've had both golfs and boys tennis in, and now Darby Biergan is in the studio talking baseball. A couple games this week, Darby.
Yeah, a couple games this week, Dick. And with that schedule you guys got, you might have to start your own ESPN show here, scheduling 2-3-hour Sports Center segment. So that's a good thing for the kids in the area to be involved in a lot of things and have that many coaches.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so we started out the week, not our home opener. We tried to get a home opener the week on Tuesday, but the field conditions weren't quite ready, so that game has been rescheduled for this coming Thursday against Hancock at home. So we went to RCW in Sacred Heart on Thursday and came home with a 12-1 win to open up the season, which was a good way to start the year for us. We started out a little slow. We didn't get on the board until the fourth inning, and in the fourth inning we put up 7 runs. So that kind of RCW was, you know, they had their best pitcher on the mound, and he's a good off-speed thrower. And, you know, it's seeing off-speed in the cage inside isn't quite like seeing off-speed off the mound. So it was a good thing for the kids to see for the first time. But once they saw him the second, third time around, then they figured it out, and they started hitting the ball around the park a little bit. So Just a good way to start the year. We put up 7 in the fourth. We were on our way to 10-run rule them, but kind of went stagnant again after a little bit, and then we put up three more in the sixth, and we finished with two in the seventh. So we didn't 10-run them. We played all seven, which was good because they gave us more at-bats and gave us a few more innings in the mound, too, to start out the season. In that game, Dylan Keimig was our leadoff. He was 1-for-3 with a double, and he cleared the bases with that double, so he had three RBIs. Tyler Earp was 2-for-3 with a stolen base and an RBI. Davis Patzer had a walk and a run. Lennon Weber was 1-for-3 with two runs scored, and he had a double and an RBI. Brock Bjornild in our four spot was 2-for-4 with a run. He's been hitting the ball hard, and he followed that up down in RTR last night, too, and he had three RBIs. Nolan Smith started at second for us. He was 1-for-2 with a run. He also had a nice sack bunt, so it was nice to see that. I know Nolan's been working hard on that, and he had two stolen bases as well. And Matt Arndt, he had a stolen base, an RBI. He was kind of filling up the stat sheet here. One walk, and he had a sacrifice fly, I believe is what it was, is how he scored his RBI. He also scored one run. And Baxter Kulloff scored a run. Brant Schomer did some running for us. Also, he got up to bat. He was 1-for-2 with a double and an RBI. And the second one he hit was a hard fly ball that that was an out. His double wasn't hit as hard. He swung the bat really well. And Gavin Meyer, a sophomore, played third for us. He was 1-for-3 with a run and two RBIs in the nine spot, which is a lot of people might not think about that nine spot being important, but we find it a very important position because that table sets for the top of the order coming back up, and we think Gavin's done a really nice job so far in the first two games in that spot. He's getting on base. He's hitting people in when they're there, so he's doing what we expect at that spot. Starting on the mound for us that game was Brock Bjornild coming back from last year. Brock was one of our top pitchers last year, so we were excited to see him on the mound again this year. And starting out the year, he went five innings. He had six strikeouts, two walks, gave up two hits, one run, and it was earned. So Brock gave us five innings. And then our lefty came in. Our lone lefty on the varsity right now is Matt Arndt. And Matt went two innings. He had two strikeouts. He didn't walk anybody. No hits, no runs, and no errors. So a good outing for Matt to get on the bump right away from being off since last spring. And then that took us to a 12-1 win in Sacred Heart against RCW, and it was a great start to the year. You know, our guys were aggressive on the bases, which we preach all the time, and smacking the ball around, and it was fun to see.
Did the JV play as well?
Yeah, JV played after. I had the score memorized, and now I forgot it when you asked me, Dick. But they did win. They got four innings in.
Okay.
I wonder if it wasn't like 4-1 or something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, at the JV right now, we have 18, 19 guys on that JV. And I know Coach Kittleson's always talking to me about how do I get everybody in. And it is a struggle. Yeah. He's working really hard to try to get people in where they belong and being successful at certain positions. So we're trying to get as many innings with teams as we can. There's a lot of teams in the area that can't supply a JV team or a ninth grade team. So the boys are being patient so far with that, and I hope they understand the situation we're in.
Well, yeah, and the same thing for the varsity. Most of the time they play after the varsity, and if the field doesn't have lights, it might be a shortened game. Some JV games are played at a different site, so they'll get a full game in.
Yep.
And maybe even a full game and a half or something.
Right. There's a few times that we'll be able to split, and that's great because then we'll get a full seven at least. But yeah, it depends on the lights and the number of teams, and we even tell the teams that we go see that struggle to get a full JV team, we just say, hey, play some of your varsity guys.
Right.
We just want innings. Give us whatever you got.
Yep, that's right. Okay, then last night.
Sure, then a late night.
That game, I call your team the Cardiac Kids.
Yeah,
that.
We started out slow again. It could have been the long bus ride, could be early season. I don't know, you know, long drive down to Ruthton also. So, we started out slow. We went down 7-0 to RTR early on, and we had a little little talk about, all right, now it's early in the season, this is a good test, and what are you going to be made of? Are we going to work at it to get back into this game? Are we going to claw back into it, or are we just going to roll over and die? So the boys did a really nice job of, you know, getting back in the game, and they battled. They didn't give up, so that was a really, really good positive out of that game. A lot of weird things happened in this game. We had an injury in our left fielder that had to come out early. Our starting center fielder was having issues with some lighting in the background where he couldn't pick the ball up, so we had to take him out. He just didn't feel comfortable out there, which is, I'm glad he did that. You know, he doesn't want to hurt himself or the team. I understand that. So it, just a lot of weird things happening, and a lot of shuffling around of guys that were playing positions that they hadn't played yet this year in the second game of the year, which I tip my hat to them because they moved them their position and they played those positions well. So I'll Grant Bierke, I'll bring up his name. He's a sophomore. He started on the bench, and we brought him in. He went to second, and then ended up at short. So he was kind of the guy that was playing all over the place, and that's what we needed him to do, and right. He didn't complain about it once. He just said, yep, I can do it. So hats off to that. I appreciate that. We did not get on. Like I said, we went down 7-0. We didn't get on the board until the fifth, and on the fifth, Davis Patzer started off with a single, and he moved up on a wild pitch and a pass ball. And then Weber walked, and then Brock Bierneld, like I've been saying, has been hitting the ball really hard. He hit a double that had an RBI on that. Then later in that same inning, I believe Matt Arndt hit the second base, and he was able to beat it out. It was a throwing error, and Weber later scored on that play. So we got three runs in that inning with Patzer, Weber, and Brock coming around to score. After I think Brock was the one that scored on Matt's ball to second, at least. And then we put three up, so we got 7-3, and we were hoping that we could just shut it down right away and not give him anything back, but I think we gave those three right back to him, so then we were down 10-3. It'd be nice if we get those three runs just to go back out there, and that's a learning experience. I know we have a few seniors that have played a lot, but we're still a young team because they don't have a lot of varsity experience, but that's where you'd like to go out and just shut the door right away, put up zero, and then come back in and get the bats rolling again to put a little pressure on them. So we gave up those three. We're down 10-3, but in the sixth, then we put up another six spot. So we didn't quit again after we gave up those three, which was exciting. And a lot of those runs in the sixth, there was a lot of going on, a lot of walks, a lot of hit by pitch, a lot of stolen bases, everything going on. So it's hard to recall it, but I'll try to walk you through it. I do remember Gavin Meyer started with a hit by pitch, and I think it was four or five guys in a row that either walked or hit by pitch. Kaimig walked, then Baxter Cullif, who substituted in, walked, hit by pitch on Patzer, and another walk on Weber. And then we got to Brock Bierneld, and a jump down to Nolan Smith had a sacrifice fly to left field. Matt Arndt had a single that was out to right field. That was an RBI. And then we had a first and third situation with him on first, and we did a long lead. And Landon Weber was able to steal home after Matt got the pitcher to step off and get kind of in a hot box situation. Matt also advanced to second base off that. So the best situation happened for us. We scored and we got a stolen base at second. So we ended up with six runs. Most of those guys were from walks, but we'll take advantage of that. You know, we talked about not chasing. We weren't getting the calls and they weren't either, RTR, that we thought were strikes. So we said, well, let's not chase. Let's make them bring that ball down. And the boys did a nice job of adjusting to that. And then RTR came back and put one more up on the sixth. We thought we maybe had a chance in the seventh for the control issues that they had on the mound, and just so happened that their pitcher came out in the seventh and got four guys came up, and we got three outs. We had a runner on. We had Brock on. He singled in the seventh, and we just weren't able to scratch two runs to tie it up, and so we walked away with a 9-11 loss down in RTR. But it's a good learning lesson early in the season. We'd rather learn these lessons. As long as we learn from these mistakes so they don't happen later in the year, I see maybe RTR being a team that we could potentially face in the sections if we were so lucky to make it that far. And I'd rather be making those mistakes yesterday than later in the year.
Pitching on the day?
Yes. So Davis Patzer started for us on the mound. Not a typical day for Davis, and we're going to have that early in the season, and we're willing to roll with those punches because we know Dave's going to step up and be a solid pitcher for us for for the rest of the year. So he started. He went one inning, two walks, two hits, five runs, and four of those were earned. He had one strikeout. We were impressed with Nolan Smith. He came in a tough situation. He threw some really good innings for us. He looked really good on the mound. There was a fan from the other side from after the game that said, "Boy, that second pitcher he had looks like, you know, he's a big kid." I said, "He's been putting some time in the weight room." So yep. I'm glad to hear that, because it should pay off, and people are noticing that. So Nolan was thrown really well. He struck out four. He walked four. He gave up six hits, five runs. Five were earned, but they were solid innings that he gave us. Gavin Meyer came in for a little bit. He gave up a walk, one hit, one run, and it was earned. And then Kymig finished the game on the mound, and he ended up with one strikeout and put zeros on the board everywhere else.
And they've already played six games, and they're playing again today and Monday. So
RTR's season's a third over. I couldn't believe they had so many games, and it was just crazy to me. We were in our second game, and they were already six. That was their sixth game. So, you know, they were a little bit more experienced than us for game-wise, and that's not an excuse. We don't like excuses, but seeing live balls and live ground balls and fly balls does make a difference as the season moves on.
Playing in Dawson today.
Yeah, I hear that they're going to go to Dawson today. So I asked their coach, I said, "Do you guys have enough arms for this?" He goes, "Well, I think so." So we'll find out today.
Yeah. JV on that game?
Yeah, JV played four innings after us. I think they ended up with a 3-1 loss is what it ended up being. They had different rules. It was either going to be four innings or an hour, whatever came first for time-wise. So Coach Gittleson was trying to run people through as fast as he could. I know he didn't get everybody in that he wanted to, but that's just, like we said, we got to be patient and with 18 guys on the JV.
Okay, next week.
Next week we have TMB coming for the home opener on Tuesday at 5 o'clock down here at Madison Memorial Baseball Field. There is no JV game. I think after the game yesterday, I talked to Paul and Bart on the radio and said there was a JV game, but I forgot that TMB will not be able to field a JV team this year. On Thursday, Hancock is coming back for that makeup game from last Tuesday. That's a 5 o'clock start. There will be a JV game afterwards.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on those two games.
Yeah, thank you. Our junior high also opened up the season on Tuesday. They went to KMS. I think 8th grade ended up with a loss, but 7th grade ended up with a win. So it was a good start for junior high. So
good numbers there?
Yeah, we're right around 30, yes.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, we'll always take more.
Yeah.
So anybody willing to come out, we'll take you.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks, Dick. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. We'll take this break, and John Cherb is in the studio talking boys and girls track after this.
Hop into the Country Butcher in Dawson this week for this week's specials. Thunderhawk Steaks, a.k.a. Tom A. Hawk Steak, $20 a pound of pure power. Blackjack Brats, 10% off. Roll the flavor dice. Corbett Hams, call the reserve yours now for Easter. Don't leave the bunny hanging. Call to claim your cuts today from the Country Butcher before they hop away. 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher is closed Mondays. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1. That's the Country Butcher, Main Street, Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com. A joyous Easter. The earth is sweet, the flowers are fair. As Eastertide draws near, may joy and gladness bless your heart and those who hold most dear. May you have a joyous and blessed Easter. This message comes to you from your friends at MinWest Insurance, located in the MinWest Bank Building in Dawson. See them for all your insurance needs. And again, happy Easter at MinWest Investment and Insurance, located in the MinWest Bank Building, Dawson. This time of the year renews our hope in all God has ahead. For we were blessed eternally when Christ rose from the dead. So may your trust in Him remain true, for He is working out His best as He lives His life in you. Wishing you a happy and blessed Easter. This message comes to you from the Strand Agency, located downtown Dawson. Peter and Vicki Strand taking this opportunity to wish you and yours the very best during the Easter season. Happy Easter!
There's none like
you. Back here talking Boys and Girls Track with John Cherb, and I think you had an event on Tuesday this past week.
Thursday. Okay. Tuesday was the Morris's was track was not feasible. I mean, it wasn't too bad. There still was too much water up there, and there's still some snow. So because they had more snow than north, so they didn't. They pulled that one off, so they did not get Tuesday. Okay. So we went Thursday to Lakeview, which turned into a longer meet than should have. I know it's always tough hosting your first meet and everything else, but sometimes technology gets in the way, and unfortunately, they had a lot of technology issues, and so it started out that it turned over behind schedule, and it's cold and windy anyways Thursday, and then your kid's warming up. Now they're cooling back down. Now you got to rewarm them back up again. Luckily, MCC had their iPad system with that they can connect up to. I think it's a link system they've got, so they were able to save a lot of headaches because they were going to have to start scrambling and finding 8 new timers. It turned... It's frustrating, and I get it. It's a bad MO they've had there lately of not having technology set, but it's a great facility, and it's good to compete. And we were glad to compete, and so that was a good thing. Right. So it got to be a later meet than a cold or whatever, but it was good. And I was really happy with our kids handling the conditions because, you know, we've got a lot of kids who are putting new spots this year, and they're handling it very well and understanding the weather. I mean, it's just, like I said, it got cold. And a little bit dry. And actually, we pulled. We did not run our 4x4 on Thursday just because we had some kids that were a little tight in the hamstrings. And with cold weather and hamstrings, you can't take a chance. I know there was a kid, I think it was a kid in Lakeview in the 100-meter dash, pulled his hammy bad. So I don't know what he's going to have. So, I mean, it's just the weather was not ideal for sprinters. Distance runners, they'll go through it, not a problem at all. And just because they don't have the quick, most of them don't have quick twitch muscles like the sprinters. So. But, no, it was good to get in, get some meets, get some relays, get a lot of things going through. So, you know, we're very fortunate to get one in. And, you know, junior high ran yesterday at Lakeview again yesterday. And they had gorgeous weather. We were trying to think, how do they get the good stuff when the older kids don't? Some of the older kids are growling a little bit. But I said, hey, it'll come back around. It'll work its in. So, boys 100-meter dash. Gabe Lowry was our top finisher. He went 13.70. Josh Weber was 27th at 13.73, and Griffin Kuchemeister was 28th at 13.74. 200-meter dash, Griffin Kuchemeister was our top runner there at 28.68, and Joshua Weber was 26th at 28.77. 400-meter dash, Tanner Callis was 4th, 57.86. In the 800-meter run, it was Tayden Clark was 3rd overall at 2:13.04, and Gavin Carr was 2:15.112. I know the 800 boys and the girls got kind of caught in the same boat. They decided to save time. They threw everybody in, so it turned into basically a wall of kids. If you didn't get out fast enough, you were trying to pass everybody you could to get back in the race. And unfortunately, Clark was on the outside, never got a chance to read. He was trailing the whole way and just trying. He wasted a lot of energy to get back in the race, but that's learning and understanding. Like, you know, Darby talked about, you want airs now, not later. And that's part of development, learning these kids of understanding different style races. And he got back into it, just unfortunately just was not able to really press that front issue like I think he really wanted to. But even Gavin Carr looked very good with that. And I thought Gavin had a really nice 8 there. He put things out there. Gavin also won the mile, 5:06.53, and with that wind gust and that backside, it ate him alive. He put himself in a really good time. We talked a little bit earlier and talked afterwards, like going, what do you want to do? Do you just want to go for the win, or do you want to try to be pushing the envelope and trying to fight through the stuff? And he said, I want to fight through it, and if I get beat, if I hit the wall less, no big deal. And that's part of the thing is you want to try to challenge, and that's what's good. You know, he's a senior, he's been through it, he understands it. You know, when he was probably a sophomore, he probably ran a lot with different style, probably laid back and then went, and now he understands a little bit. He won that with, you know, pretty easy at 5:07.53. 300-meter hurdles, Riley Borman was 3rd overall, 49.78. I thought that was a good start for him, and just because, you know, he's young, getting back into that, went well. 4x1, you're going to hear our relays. Our relays are pretty much all rebuilt. There may be a 4 people. You may have 1 or 2 that has ran it before. Then the majority of the other ones haven't. So in our 4x1 boys, they were 8th, 52.07. That was Carson Greppi, Dave Torgerson, Riley Borman, and Noah Meyer. 4x200-meter relay, That was Mason Bothan, Beckett Anderson, David Torgerson, and Cale Tufto. They finished fourth at a time of 144.34. Like I said, we did not run a 4x4 on that one at all. And I thought all relay teams, you know, for as little we were able to get reps in doing handoffs, because we weren't sure. Some kids were gone, some kids were here, and some, you know, we had that because, you know, with Wednesday, some kids aren't there, so we couldn't get a lot of relay handoffs. We kind of messed it through a little bit and thought the kids really stepped up well and handled it, the stick, and did not really have a dead spot in there at all. Shot put, Noah Meyer had a really nice toss to start the year off. He was 8th overall at 38 feet and a half inch. Carson Greppi was 10th at 36 feet 8 inches, and then Gabe Lowry was 22nd at 32 feet 8 and a half. I think that's the first time that Gabe has thrown the shot in a couple of years, so it's good to get him back in that. And then in the discus, Carson was 21st at 81 feet 6 inches. High jump, Beckett Anderson, he was 5th overall at 5 feet 3. Long jump, Griffin Kuchenmeister was our top jumper in 22nd place at 13 feet 8 inches, and then Josh Weber was 27th at 12.2. Triple jump, Beckett Anderson was 6th overall, 34 feet 4 inches. Griffin Kuchenmeister was 17th at 30 feet, and then Joshua Weber was 18th at 29.2. So I thought the boys really, you know, ran well. And we've got a really step in 9th and 10th graders trying to step into levels, and I thought they really, really did well and handled that. And that's a good thing, and hopefully they can, you know, build, and, you know, there's a bright future for them. On the girls' races, a lot of rebuild in a lot of spots, and I thought some kids really handled it well. In the 100-meter dash, Sadie Hacker was our top runner. She was 13th overall at 14.85. Maren Woolley was 14th at 14.92, and then Madison Daly was 33rd at 17 flat. 200-meter dash, Maren Woolley was 15th at 32.27. Clarissa Ramirez was 22nd at 34.89. 400-meter dash, Micaiah Poost was 3rd all overall at 108 flat, and then Marley Ludvigson was 8th at 115.84. 800-meter run, Bryn Glege won it with 236.14. That's a very good start to her. I know she had a really good split in the 4x8. You know, she's starting off almost right where she left off last year, and so hopefully this is going to be a really get some serious time drop. But, you know, so she went 236. Harper Reynolds was 7th at 303.18. Talia Hursom was 9th at 308.59. So, again, a lot of young kids, a lot of kind of get that feel of it, and plus also, you know, just the cooler weather. Chloe Glege was 3rd overall in the mile, went 6:15.87. She made some nice moves. She got caught one section, kind of have to bear a lap running into the headwind, but she was able to kind of get some other wind breaks when she could. But, again, just getting into that track and going with it. 100 hurdles. Alexis Olson was 8th at 20.02. Ella Stock was 9th at 21.34. And then Camry Olson was 11th at 22.22. 300-meter hurdles, Cameron Olson was 10th overall at 102.52. Ella Stock was 13th at 105. And, you know, the big goals for those two girls in the 300s is, can we break 1 minute? And that's kind of what we're shooting at. 4x1 girls, basically all rebuilt except for one. But, again, you like the way the kids have worked together on it to try to understand. We just got to, again, have some confidence in there. But stick did not have a dead spot, which is the key. But we were 8th overall with one flat, .06. And that was Sadie Hacker, Maren Woolley, Celeste Jenkins, and Marley Ludvigson. And then Marley, actually, you know, she got kind of the I don't want to say the rookie invite, but she ran the 4x1, while the next race is the 400-meter dash. So I said, so it's just a warm-up sprint for her. She got her warm-up sprint, and she actually looked very comfortable, which is good. And she never, you know, some kids will get that look on her face. She competed and did a really good job. And that's, again, that's what you ask out of these kids. They did it. We did have a 4x2 team. As of this morning, there's still nothing posted on Athletic Net, so I don't have the exact time on our 4x2. So that's kind of a scary one there of what we ran. And I think, if I remember right, we ran roughly around 210. So, but again, until I see everything and what place we had. But again, you know, we put kids in, and, you know, because Celeste was in that. Celeste Jenkins, Mari Tonkley, that's our foreign exchange student from Germany, who really adds a lot into there, and that's good to see. Sadie Rosendahl is in there, and Jalissa Ramirez was in that. Ramos is in that one. So don't have a time on them. But again, that's what technology is. You go. Like I said, we did scratch our 4x4. Our 4x8, they went 11:31 flat. That was to finish fourth. That was Bringlegi, Micaiah, Poost, Harper, Grunholz, and Talia Hursum. Shot put, Isabel Longhenry was 10th in the shot at 26 feet, 7 inches. Casey Tweet, a new one in there, picking up basically both Casey and Alexa are both new, so that's good to see. Casey was 21 feet, 3 inches. She was 31st, and Alexa Alonzo was 35th at 18.8. Discus, Casey Tweet was 18th at 64 feet 5, and then Alexa Alonzo was 30th at 50 feet 8. I know Isabel did not throw the disc because she had a shoulder. She had tweaked her shoulder a little bit the day before, so she wanted to try the shot and see how it goes, but it was enough to aggravate, and she said, nah, and cold and tough in that shoulder to throw, so she scratched out on that, and that's because there's more work on that shoulder when you're getting into that discus just because of the sling. And so she stepped out of that, but you know, hopefully we get her back next week to being healthy with that shoulder. High jump, Sadie Rosendahl really had a nice high jump. She ended up getting second over 4 feet 9. The conditions didn't make it well for jumpers, but she cleared. And I know she had to go to, I think it must have been 4-7 she went, and I know she was grumbling a little bit, and one of her teammates come over, and she goes, came over to watch her, and she goes, "Oh, why'd you come over to watch me? I'm going to miss on my third anyways." She cleared on her third, no problem at all, and walked up and asked her. Her face got really, really red when he asked her, "Oh, you want to tell everybody you're going to miss on your third, then you make it, or what are you going to do?" And she just laughed. But again, that's, you like that, again, how they did on that. Mary Holmgren was 11th at 4 foot, and then Madison Daly was 18th at 3 foot 6. And triple jump, Morgan Anderson, I believe, is a personal best. She went 31 feet even in the triple. She finished fourth. And then Annika Lehman was ninth at 28 feet, 3.5 inches. They scored it out. I can't remember. I know the boys, I think we ended up having about 25 points, 27 points, somewhere in that area. It was 10 teams. I think we were probably seventh, I want to say. Girls, we scored about 45 points, and then we were about sixth. But we really didn't care about the scoring. I mean, yeah, it's nice to know where you're at for team-wise, but we just wanted to get bodies in and competing. And we'll get some kids. We still got some kids that aren't ready to compete yet, and hopefully this next week they'll be able to compete and be ready. And just, we're not taking chances. You know, like Brayson did not jump at all, but he hasn't. You know, with the way state basketball finished late, and then he was also went to Costa Rica with a Spanish class, so he's been gone a lot longer. So we just said, you know, you come along if you want to do some runway through and everything else just to work on that, but he was not allowed to jump at all and do anything just to save it, because when you got a kid like that, you don't want to take chances, and you want to bring him back, and hopefully on Tuesday, Monty, he'll get his taste in there, he'll get back into it. Then also, Cade Solom was not able, because he was also with the same crew with basketball and also Costa Rica, so we're just working him back into shape a little bit, again, we're going to bring a lot of these kids around, and we're going to move kids around. That's the other thing is, with these relays, we're going to try to move some kids around, because besides getting a release, I want to get some open marks on them, too, so we can compare and find out where their strength is and start getting some confidence and wielding. It's a good thing to have with as young, energetic kids we've got. We've got a lot of kids that really are going to do a lot of good stuff. They aren't going to worry about weather. I mean, the weather was not great on Thursday. I never heard one complaint at all about it. You know, they said it was tougher on the backside. And that's what you want to see in kids. They're going to do it the best they can, no matter what happens with their times or the performance. They're still going to compete, and that's all you can ask.
Right. You mentioned Tuesday and Monty. Anything else next week?
No, we get, you know, we're pretty much back into, you know, one a week or maybe two. So with Easter next week with busy week with Easter. So we got to meet Tuesday at Monty. I believe it's a 4 o'clock start with field, if I remember right. We'll have that. I know junior high, I think they go to Monty on Monday, so they'll get that rotation there, because we got some young junior high boys and girls that I think there's a lot of talent there if we can just get them into meets and get them competing. And some of them were nicked up a little early, so I'm hoping they'll all come back healthy. And I think there's kids on that level are going to probably help us with the varsity action, too, so that's good to see.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck on Tuesday, and I guess we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Perfect.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. We'll be talking softball after this.
Monica, Easter's coming up. It sure is, Paul Ramo, and Monica's is in full bloom. I have gotten so much new spring merchandise in, and you will see a lot of color in every room, and I've gotten a lot of jackets and spring striped tops, vests, jeans, shorts, capris, crops, and new reversible dresses, and grab a new dress for Easter. Shop Monica's in Dawson on Chestnut Street, Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. Like me on Facebook and enjoy a dark chocolate sea salt caramel when you arrive.
Taking a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. There will be a taco feed at the Appleton VFW from 4:30 to 7 o'clock this evening. Hard shell and soft shell tacos available, along with taco salads. It's a benefit for the Little Miss Appleton Scholarship, a fundraiser, and everyone is welcome. The annual Porter Community Auction will be held today. Vehicles start at 9:30 this morning. All other rings starting at 10 o'clock. So come on down to Porter, take in that community auction today. You can check out the listings online at portermn.org. There'll be a meat raffle this evening at the Milan Legion. Proceeds go to support the Lackaparral Valley Trap Team. That starts at 6 o'clock. On Sunday, the Greater Milan Initiative fundraiser will be going on from 10 to 1 at the GMI School Building. On the menu, pancakes, sausage, juice, and coffee. So come on over for that. On Sunday, St. Leo Church having a pancake and sausage supper. All you can eat. Serving time 5 to 7 p.m. Everybody's invited to come on over to St. Leo for that event on Sunday. The Swift County Fair Board has a pancake and French toast breakfast going on Sunday from 8 to 1 at the Appleton VFW. They'll be serving made-from-scratch buttermilk pancakes, French toast, sausage, milk, and orange juice. Adults $8, 12 and under $5, 3 and under eat free. Proceeds go toward improving the Swift County Fair. Come and enjoy a great breakfast. Support the Swift County Fair at that pancake and French toast breakfast on Sunday at the VFW.
This Easter, Olson Sanitation serving Lackaparral and Yellow Medicine shoe peace in your hearts and a deeper faith than you ever thought possible. Tiny miracles around every corner and a world filled with people, places, and traditions you hold closest in your hearts. Because you're all so very dear to us, have Easter from your friends at Olson Sanitation.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, April 11th through Monday, April 14th. In Theater One, it's King of Kings, opening nationwide. That's King of Kings, rated PG, Story of Jesus of Child. It's an animated movie, King of Kings, in Theater One. Good Easter film. And in Theater Number Two, The Day the Earth Blew Up, Looney Tunes movie. All your favorite characters are back, rated PG. That's The Day the Earth Blew Up in Theater Number Two. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
I'm senior outfielder Zoe Doctor in the Lackaparral softball team. Thanks to Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support for our program. I would like to thank Cargill, Clean Sight, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, and Bellingham Legion Post 441.
I'm senior second baseman Kayla Jan, and I would like to thank Lovickson Tiling, Zarbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Dominic Fernals, Fernals Concrete, Appleton VFW Post 4955, and Blake and Ramona Dineen.
I'm senior first baseman and outfielder Jalen Lee, and I would like to thank Clemente Electric, Prairie Sun Bank, the Dreyer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, and Q92 FM Radio.
I'm senior shortstop Brandon Meyer, and I would like to thank Ag Country, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer Farms, Home to Home, Appleton Dental Care, and the Appleton Sportsman's Club.
I'm senior pitcher and outfielder Val Piotr. I'd like to thank Piotr Construction, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Kibble Equipment, and Appleton Veterinary Clinic.
I'm senior third baseman Kendall Shelstead, and I would like to thank Trigestead Pioneer Seeds, Madison Chiropractic Center, Traeger Seeds, Joe and Deb Schreier. We thank the Home Run Club sponsors and all donors for supporting our Lackaparral softball team.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Lackaparral Valley softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul.
I understand you got the team in the cities today, huh?
Yeah, yep. We are going to get to watch the University of Minnesota Gophers play the Oregon Ducks. I think Oregon is ranked number 4 in the nation, a softball game at Jane Sage Cowles Stadium, which is going to be a cool experience because this is where the state championship softball games will be played for the first time this year. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So it'll be a great experience for our girls to watch high-level softball and the pregame preparation and just be at a really cool stadium like that. So, and it's my first Division I softball game seeing as well. So hoping to get some pointers.
Well, I parked in that parking lot, the softball parking lot, during the state basketball tournament. And, it looks like a really nice stadium. And the Gophers are one of the top teams in the country year in and year out, aren't they? Or one of the top teams.
Yeah, I think they're maybe down a little bit this year, kind of that, around that 500 mark. But regardless, it's Division I softball, so should be fun to watch.
All right. All right. You got some games in this week, Scott.
We did. You know, the weather for both of them was interesting. We played Monday against RTR. RTR was a third-place Class A finisher in the state last year. They did lose a very good pitcher, but also have many of the remaining components back. And I tell you what, we were clicking on all cylinders. It was fun. We swung the bats well. We played well defensively, pitched it well, had high energy, and just really, really got after it. RTR has a freshman pitcher that throws it pretty good. She was with TMB last year and throws it pretty good. She shut us down in the first inning, but after that, we really jumped on her. Girls timed her up, and second, third, fourth, and fifth inning, we just kept scoring, and scored two in the second, three in the third, two in the fourth, and then put up six in the fifth. RTR, they did shut us down. After that, our offense exploded, and we scored two runs in the second, three in the third, two in the fourth, and then blew up for six runs in the fifth. And that gave us a win by 10-run rule. We ended up winning 13-0 in five innings. We had 13 hits and no errors, and the no errors is a really big thing for us. We think we can compete with anybody if we can eliminate mistakes. Maya Swatsky pitched for us on this day. She threw all five innings, gave up three hits, had 11 strikeouts and five walks. Got a little tired in the last, little tired and a little cold in the last inning. And I think she had three walks that last inning. But regardless, we did a nice job there, made some nice defensive plays as well. Offensively, the cool thing is pretty much everybody got a hit in this game with our 13 hits. Jalen Lee was 1-for-4. Kendall Shelstead was 2-for-3. Raya Borsted was 1-for-1. Brandy Meyer was 1-for-3. Kayla Jan was 1-for-3. Callie Kahn was 1-for-3. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-3. Val Piotr, 2-for-3, had a nice game at the plate. Maya Swatsky was 1-for-3, and then Aiden Bond was 2-for-3. She had a big game in her first varsity experience. She was our starting catcher. She had four RBIs and scored three runs. And she's got some great instincts, so we're excited about that too. It was just a really solid game. We had a couple situations where RTR tried to get things going, and we just, our girls were in the right place at the right time, and it's nice when you see the things that you practice come to fruition in gameplay, and they executed wonderfully. So,
And RTR, they went to state last year. They had that really good pitcher. I think she graduated, right?
Yeah, Kaya Alderson. I think she's playing maybe at Worthington this year, community college. But she was tougher than nails, but you know, beyond her. They have, I think, a lot of the pieces back. I recognize a lot of the names. They still have their outstanding catcher who we were able to keep quiet, and she's difficult to keep quiet, so that was nice. And then they have a freshman pitcher that actually open enrolled from TMB that throws it pretty well, but our girls just timed her up well and really hit some balls hard. And
good.
Yeah, it just was a big win.
That's good, because you played another state entrance team on Thursday, didn't you?
Yeah, so we talked to the girls. We've had CGB, who got second place in state. RTR got third last year. CGB got second, and CGB's bringing back everybody. Well, I shouldn't say everybody, but many of their players.
Starters,
a year stronger or a year better, yep. And so, you know, we knew coming into that game that was going to be an interesting game and a lot of fun. So, and a good test to where we're at. And we've talked to the girls about, hey, we had an outstanding season last year in terms of our record, but I don't want you to get down. What we're doing this year is Mr. Stelter has helped us to find some very competitive games because we want to push ourselves to get to that next level.
Exactly.
And so CGB was one of them. And tell you what, you were there, Paul. We started that game off wonderfully, clicking on all cylinders. We scored 3 runs in the first. And I feel bad. I got to tell you, we had some incorrect stat stuff, so I was going in to fix it on the way home and completely wiped out my stats for the game. So I have nothing for that other than my memory, which some might say is not very good. But I'll have to – Bryce, their coach, shared stuff with me, so I just have to manually re-enter this weekend. But we started off in the first inning against their pitcher, and who's salty. Throws hard, has some nice off speed, and we just got on her. We made some nice, had some nice sack bunts, moved some runners around, scored some runs, etc. And went up 3-0 in the first. Val Piotr started for us. She went out, and we had a strategy going into this game where we were gonna, because our two pitchers, Val and Maya, they're two different styles. Val's very much a spot pitcher and works.
We head to Blue Mound State Park to learn about Action Track Chairs, a chair that helps people with mobility issues explore the park.
This is great.
Then we check out 21 Roots Farm, a nonprofit that's connecting people with developmental disabilities to the outdoors and agriculture.
They say if you build it, they will come. It's happened.
Finally, Nicole Zempel shows us the upside of nettles.
You will get food, medicine.
Sunday at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS.
Hey there, music fans. Flip Werpy invites you to join him for the Flip Side, your new home for the best rock and roll from 1954 to 1963. It's all happening this Saturday night at 7 o'clock on KOQP. Whether you're twisting, shouting, or just kicking back, it's going to be a rocking good time. See you Saturday night, 7 o'clock, for the Flip Side.
Well, back here at the studio for the Culture Show, just remember, in the spring now, we go every Saturday morning at 8:30. We try to get both golf in and possibly boys tennis if we can. And then that gives more times for John Sherb with the boys and girls track, Darby with baseball, and Scott with girls softball. So, close out this show. We got 3 minutes left and got two Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. First off, how do you get an astronaut's baby to sleep? Well, of course, you rock it. And secondly, once I paid $20 to see a Prince concert. And I partied like it was 1999. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Q92 Country Time at 9:54. Great music for Bellingham, Marietta, and Nassau on Q92 KLQP-FM.